welcome to Laughing Monkey Music Show too. Like, Mark is famous for Crocus, but he's been doing some great solo stuff and continuing with some solo stuff. How are you? How you doing
I'm
today,
doing
Mark?
fine, John. Fine.
I'm glad.
Everything's. I just come back from the studio, and our drummer, Patrick Abbey, just put down 14 tracks. He's been working since yesterday. Yeah. Nice drumming. And together with Tommy Henriksen, he's producing the album, the new album.
Yeah.
And everything's coming out roses so far.
And this is for your second solo album, right? So is this a late in life to be doing a solo album? I mean, your first one, Live and Let Live, is really good. It's super strong. Like,
Thanks.
I love it. But it's funny, it's like you didn't do it earlier on in life. How come now but not earlier?
Well, really, doing a solo album takes a lot of concentration, a lot of focus, a lot of work. And working with Crocus all these decades, it's
Yeah.
been teamwork, you know. So I did my thing and everyone did his thing. And here I had to kind of take the whole responsibility, including the financial one, on my shoulder
Yeah.
because nobody wanted to sign a new act during lockdown, you know. And the reason why I started was because there was nothing left to do during lockdown except write, you know, be
Yeah.
creative. And so it was like playing poker, really, because I went ahead and I couldn't get a deal. So me and my manager, Rolly Eggly, we decided to do this thing alone. And, so I used the band, the same people I used in the studio. And, and then after like half a year, I put a new band around me. Of more like hardened rockers instead of studio musicians. Although the studio musicians were great, they did a great job. Keeping Turi Vicky on lead guitar, and
Yeah.
he's still on the team now. It's been a great adventure, you know. It's been a big risk, and it's worked out because Live and Let Live, my first solo album, is now like my visiting card, and people liked it, you know, thank God. And it doesn't sound like Crocus, and it doesn't sound like anything else I've done before. So it kind of, you know, opened a new door for me, you know, so it's great.
Stuff and the thing with being a singer for a band, as long as you have, you kind of become the sound of the band. Whether you hear your voice, you think Crocus. I mean, you hear a drummer, you don't always think Crocus. As a fan, you hear a voice, you affiliate the sound with it, is what I'm saying, not actually the artist who started it. As a fan, I'm saying, but
I think
I
that's
agree, I
how
guess
it
it's not
is with
your
most bands.
right, and it's not a bad thing, but I'm saying the challenge is for you. And I think you did a good job by doing a solo work, by keeping who you are, but expanding on something different without getting trapped of being, it's not Crocus, or it is. It sounds like, you know what I'm saying? Being compared, it stands on its own, which was a nice surprise,
Well,
to hear
that's it.
that. Like,
That's what I'm mostly pleased about, that it's not an imitation of Crocus or anyone else, but it's just me. And I happen to work with people who really understood my spirit, you know, and we got along well. There were different people involved in the creativity, in the songwriting, and when we did the production, it took another form. I mean, it evolved, you know, like it should do in a studio, you know, when you're into it, and things are happening, you know, and I was totally high and inspired on doing the whole thing, you know. And then it turned out that live, it went down very well as well, because there's no guarantee that when you write a song in the studio in your living room, that it's going to work in an arena, you know.
Right.
So we opened for Kiss, we opened for Scorpions, we played Rock the Ring, you know, big places, and the music worked in the big places too, which is like really great. And you know, I mean, being with Crocus, having done so many festivals, arenas, blah blah blah, you know, and 50 years of it almost, you know. So that's where my vision goes, you know. I want to play for, I see a lot of people when I'm singing in the studio, you
Right.
know.
Well, it's got to be more fun to play the festivals. And that's what I'm saying. I think, and if people are listening, if you haven't heard the first album, check it out because there's a second one coming. But sometimes an artist, no matter what they write, they sound a certain sound. And this is a little different. It's a good hard rock, good metal album, but it's different. I love your voice. So it's got, you know, your voice is just as
Yeah.
strong as it's always been. Do you do any
Thanks.
exercises to keep your voice? Like nowadays, a lot of voices are, you know, genetics or living rough, just getting older, are changing.
Yeah.
How is yours
Oh.
staying up there?
I'm getting older, but I keep it going by not letting it collect any rust, you know, and the only way to do that is to sing, you know. And the grit, you know, if you don't use that for a long, long time, then when you use it next, it's gonna burn. It's gonna really start to burn and hurt, and you might get infections and stuff. And I know that from the past, so now I'm more careful. And so, in between Crocus gigs, Storace gigs, I'm doing other gigs as well, you know. Like neck coming up next is the first gig of the year with my Storace band on the
Yeah.
20th of January in Geneva. That's going to be the kickoff for 2024. And in February, I'm going to be doing something completely different. You know, there's this thing called Art on Ice. It's a ice skating champions
Really?
doing perform. Dancing and stuff like that on in the stadiums in the Hallenstadion in Zurich mainly, and also in Fribourg, also German French kind of part, and and also in Davos, you know, which is like probably very well known all over the world. So anyway, this is a different challenge for me. And I'm going to be singing a part of a tribute for Tina Turner, whom we all respected. And she influenced me a lot. You know, you'll
Yeah.
hear, I guess, similarities in my attitude and my how can I say, hot-blooded, soul-y kind of singing, you know. So I'll be, yeah, it's gonna be like part of the whole thing is gonna be a tribute for Tina, and I'm gonna sing a couple of songs for her and a couple of other songs. So that's not too strenuous, you know. It's like doing four or five songs a night, and after that I'll be doing more Storace stuff, and obviously it's 50 years of Crocus this year. We're celebrating, and there's a couple of festivals coming in. So I'll be doing rehearsals with Crocus, not far from here in Solothurn, where the band was born. And I'm looking forward to that too. So, you know, at my age, I think, you know, keeping busy is and singing is the best way for me to keep my voice in shape, you know, basically. Although I do other stuff on the side, you know, like I walking through the woods, and I've got my some health equipment. I get on the which is something you need to do. The older you get, the more you need to do it.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how busy you are. Like your site, your performance, you're working on a new album. The Crocus site seems like it has lots of stuff coming up, releases. During Corona, you were releasing and doing stuff with T. You're re-releasing stuff. You've been very, very active. Feels like more now, so.
Yeah. Well, I'd rather be doing stuff than just rehearsing on my own.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think, is there now any more plans doing stuff with T? Because you were doing some releases and stuff. Any other kind of stuff in the future, in the works, or?
Yeah, no. Well, no, there was this big production which my manager started, and my manager is also ex-drummer of T, you know? Yeah. So we're like, he's one of my oldest buddies in this country. And he put this production together, This Is Rock, and we sang one T song there, it's a special kind of song which was written by the bass player. And so that's kind of a little candle still burning of, with the spirit of T. But whether the band is ever going to come back together, we don't know where the bass player is anyway. So, but we did have a reunion with another bass player. We took another bass player.
Yeah.
And it worked. It was fun. We see no point right now. Everybody's doing other things. But we'll see, there's never say never.
It's just fun. It's fun to go back and when it's enjoyable and just re-celebrate it. It's just, it's nice to see that you guys are still in contact and doing some celebration things once in a while, especially for older fans, it's nice. And mm-hmm. you have a new generation of fans that can go back and appreciate that T. And then you go from T, you start listening to other bands. It's always like a rabbit hole. If you listen to an artist, like, oh, I like Crocus. Then I start listening to Strachey solo music. And then I listen to T. Like, you just start going on and listening to other music, which is fantastic as a fan to be led on like that.
I see what you mean.
You know what I'm saying? And then you learn other music that maybe not really, like, who was your influences? Like, it goes on, and as a fan of music, it's exciting. But with doing all of this, is it hard to keep your solo stuff and the Crocus stuff separate? Because at one point, Crocus was going to kind of retire, but then Corona came. Are the fans expecting you to kind of like be Crocus when you're solo and not let you be solo? Or are they allowing you to be separate, your solo music? Because you have a lot of originals, so.
They're not like that at all. I know some bands are like that. They get kind of pissed off if the lead singer goes off and starts doing stuff on his own. But they know it's actually to their own. They can profit out of having a singer whose voice is working.
Well, I meant the fans. I meant the
project.
Yeah, I meant the fan base. Are the fans allowing you to do other stuff besides Crocus without expecting you to blend it in? Are the fans like at the shows? Are they like, they want Crocus? Are they letting you? Are they just like your solo?
Oh, the fans.
It's different here in the U.S. So far, the fans aren't as forgiving.
I've got Live and Let Live, right? The first real solo album, officially, and there's 10 tracks on that. So you need more than that to do a gig, the gig,
right.
1.5 hours. So I obviously take a couple of Crocus songs and a couple of songs. There's a T song I was doing, Crystal Rivers, and there's also a song from my band in London, Easy Money, which it's a song called Telephone Man, which got on Metal for Mothers, Volume 2. And that was also during the same time when the new wave of heavy metal was coming in, and Crocus was also coming in. I have, in the meantime, left Easy Money and gone to Crocus and recorded Metal Rendezvous. And this was coming in on the same wave. And so for a couple of weeks there, I have two songs in the metal charts of Sounds, I guess, or Melody Maker. And I had a Crocus song and an Easy Money song there in the charts, which with the same lead vocalist, you know, which is something which only happened to me once in my life. You know. But I managed to keep things separate and working and also doing things together. It's like I said, you know, I play Crocus songs as well. So far, because I need to fill 1.5 hours, you know, that's a headliner set. So, you know, I picked also Crocus songs that Crocus hasn't played since Donkey's years, you know, like To the Top and Midnight Maniac, where they won't touch Midnight Maniac, you know.
Oh, really? They won't?
No, don't ask me. It's just
all right.
Always no. And yeah, there's also other okay. songs like Our Love Will Never Die. It's a great ballad, right?
Right.
But that you can't do more than say one good or two good ballads in a set,
right?
Because you know it gets too,
it slows down the pace. Yeah.
Mushy. Yeah, yeah. So I throw in Screaming in the Night sometimes, and I'm going to play that in Geneva. And yeah, then there's my own ballad, you know, Don't Want to Go from Live and Let Live, which is a pretty deep ballad, very, very heavy.
Yeah, a lot different than the other ones.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And, you know, what else? I mean, and then we throw in Bedside Radio sometimes, Hoodoo Woman, you know.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I mean, I have every right because I'm.
Of course. No, I mean, you do so many covers. I know Crocus did a lot of cover songs. So I didn't know if you're like, oh, now I can do all these extra cover songs. In the meantime, like, you have so much freedom as an artist when it's just you and you have space. So that's why I'm just asking. There's no right or wrong. It's more just kind of like what you're thinking.
Yeah, Crocus, we do American Woman or Stay Awake All Night. We haven't done Stay Awake All Night since years as well. So I've been doing it too. And it's okay. It's okay to cover. It's okay to do things that you think are going to please your audience, because in the end, they're paying the bucks to come in and see you, and you don't want to disappoint them. And I think, you know, Crocus is not always present anymore. So it's okay when I play a couple of Crocus songs. I mean, Fernando's got a band, a cover band, and he plays a bunch of Crocus songs, you know. It's like, you know, much more than I do. So, but it keeps Crocus in the air, alive, you know, still here. And
I would think it'd be fun
together. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, I would think it'd be fun to hear that. I think as long as the artist is enjoying what they're doing, if they're doing solo stuff, they want to add in other stuff and they're enjoying it, that's awesome. It's always fun for a fan. But I mean, I'm just saying, just song selection wise, you have, besides T and a whole lifetime of Crocus and solo stuff and cover songs you guys have done over the years, there's a lot of songs to choose from for you. You have a wealth of much, and you're working on new stuff. So it's like, do you want to sneak a new song in? How are you choosing it? There's a lot to go with. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's not easy. Boy, the new songs, it's going to be like, you know, let's just play all the new songs. But you can't do that because the audience, the crowd, you know, the fans don't know all the new songs yet until they buy the record, they buy a CD or download it or whatever, and get familiar with them. Otherwise, if you play all new stuff, you're not going to have any reaction. There's not going to be this great, wow, yeah, and singing. You know, it's great when the crowd sings along and know the lyrics and, you know, just hold out the microphone and they take over almost. You know what I mean? That's the best feeling you can have. And so there's no point when you have a brand new album playing more than two, maximum five, you know, I would say. If it goes straight into number one or whatever and becomes really big and, you know, loads of people have it already, then you can say, okay, we play five new ones, you know. Otherwise, more than two is a risk, you know.
I agree with
It's
you. I agree, but I think it's exciting. I mean, it's funny as I've talked to an artist and they'll say, as an artist, when I write a new album, I want to play a lot of new songs because it's exciting. But at the same time, if I go see Iron Maiden, I want to hear all the hits. Like, so they're honest that they want to play original songs themselves.
Well,
But when
me
they go to a
too.
concert, they also want to hear the hits and they don't want to hear new stuff. So it's such a weird,
Because
push-pull thing.
the old hits are sentimental. They you listen to them with your heart, but the new stuff you listen to with your head, and you need the heart. You know, because this is a we sell emotions, so it's got to hit the heart, and that's where you want the reaction to come from. Then you have the biggest, greatest atmosphere that you can create. You know, it's
Well, no, it's
I
true.
see
That's
it
why
from
certain
myself.
people, and certain people at certain ages, like a band, when you're in your late teens and early 20s, usually hits the biggest, and that's usually the biggest songs, like probably the biggest window of Crocus songs for people are around the teens and the 20s, because that's when they're at their most into music and the most emotional. I mean, there's other people like me that are more into music, and I like new music. I like to see new music at a show because I can hear the music at home already. So to hear it live, a new one is exciting. 90% of your audience just wants the hits, So it's hard for
Yeah,
you to. So
that's
now that you
true.
have a full album out and you do Crocus, and now something's got to come out of the set now because you got some new stuff you want to put in, who's gonna be taken out? Is it
Which one do we throw out? You know,
each
we
album
throw
gets harder
this
for
one
you
out.
now.
Huh?
I said each album's gonna get harder for you because the first album's easy because you just do the whole album and some covers and or some Crocus or some whatever. The second one, you've got two albums to choose
Exactly.
from. And then the third is just gonna keep getting harder, So and that's where it just comes down to being special. The one artist that does it fun is who has so many songs is like an Elvis Costello. He has so many things. He'll have like a songboard, like a spin. He'll spin it, and whatever song it lands on, they'll play.
Oh, really? He does that live? Holy
So,
shit.
I mean, A, your band's got to be tight. So, and you got to know a lot of songs.
Yeah,
But
exactly.
if you're a
The band
lifetime
has
musician
to do.
and you don't know what to deal with, so that way when you go to a show, you don't know what you're going to get. The last tour, it was more. He had a set list. But in the past, he's done this kind of crazy thing in the past. And I almost think more bands should probably do it because it would take the stress off of the band to be like, you didn't play it. Be like, I don't know, spin the wheel. We'll play what lands it on, it's a challenge. But is so in the past, you've talked about Crocus has talked about like retiring or ending, but then Corona came and now it's 50 years, which is awesome for a band. There's only a handful of bands that have done 50 years, so congratulations to you guys on it. I
Thanks.
mean, it takes a village, and you've had enough people in the band to be a village. So it's you've got a lot of people, but you guys have done it. You know what I mean? You've done it though. It's a challenge, it's a job on top of being,
That's amazing.
creative. Are you guys gonna do more stuff after 50 years, or do you think you're gonna put a pin in it, once you're done with 50 years. You know what I'm
Sorry.
saying? Is Crocus gonna keep doing stuff afterwards? Maybe slow down after 50 years, or is that gonna be it after the 50 years playing out? Are you gonna wrap it up or?
Oh, no, we're just gonna carry on. As long as it's worth doing and as long as it's fun and the music is the main thing that unites us, what we created in the past and past memories and stuff. So it's really fun when we get up there and do the show. And even doing a rehearsal nowadays is fun. For me, it's just an hour's drive. Go into that cellar,
Yeah.
everyone's there. Hi, hi. We've had our coffees. No drinking. We just bang straight into the music and a few jokes thrown around here and there, a few updates, and bing, everyone goes home again. Then we meet again before the gig and spend time during, drinking coffee together and then do the show and that's it, until the next one. So it's fun and it's not like costing us an arm and a leg to do it,
No, you guys sound
because of
good, and if you're
that.
having fun, if you sound good and you're having fun, there's no reason to end it. I'm saying
Yeah.
because there's been times you guys have talked about, doing a final thing, and then a lot of other bands are wrapping it up, and then 50 is a good even number. As a fan, it's nice to just kind of see your band keep playing as long as they're having fun and
Yeah,
smiling
yeah.
and sounding good.
Yeah,
Why
yeah.
not?
That's it. That's it. The spirit is the main thing. The spirit and that's in the music, it's in the memories, it's in everything we've done, plus everything we're doing and everything maybe we wanna do. We don't know what we wanna do. That's probably the least thing we think about. It's like we live more here and now, get together, song list, bang into it, and go on stage without complicating things like we did in the 80s. Things got so complicated. Lawyers, oh my God, egos,
But also,
terrible.
you guys were part of a rock scene, but you weren't part of America. But your music was very much part of that American rock scene. So it was like you're off to the side. So it kind of kept you off a little bit. I mean, I know there's egos and things were said, and we don't need to get into the drama. But besides that, it felt like you guys were kind of. What?
We spent so many years. We spent so many years in the USA touring
Right.
and going on doing Canada and coming back in and going all around again, so right through the middle. And it's like it's endless. You can tour and tour and tour. It's so big, so vast.
Yeah.
And what we liked about it is you kept the same currency. You didn't have to go through customs every time. I mean that's really a luxury compared to Europe. Here you go through before the European Union was formed, and there was all this red tape cut down. Going through the borders and everything. Yeah, because the crew had to pull out equipment and they'd look into it and stuff, for check for smuggling and stuff,
Right.
which is what you get in Canada, though, really hard.
Right, yeah, I've heard that.
They look into every nitty-bitty cracky thing, to find something, but luckily we always got through. Yeah.
Well,
But
I think you weren't thought of as an American band, so I mean, you guys worked hard, but then when you're out of sight, you're out of mind. You weren't part of that. The LA scene, or you were thought of as a foreign band. I think you guys were always a little not getting all the press because you weren't part of that scene as much. You know what I mean?
we stayed here, especially when we wrote the Headhunter album. That was the first album we wrote in the USA, and I just didn't go home. You know, was here all the time, and we recorded that then over that Christmas and New Year, and we stayed on. Then came the tour. You know, we started in playing in LA and so on and so forth. And you know, this kind of lifestyle in the USA, it grows on you and it's comfortable. But then, of course, we're Europeans and we start getting homesick. So we have to come back home and fill up the batteries, you know.
What was interesting is, so you were here during the heyday, the fun time for touring, because touring isn't like that anymore. It's more like you get a van or you fly out. So now, when metal kind of bit the dust in the, you know, mid-90s or whatever, Europe was still loving metal, and that's where you're from. So you kind of got the best of both worlds. You were in the U.S. time touring during a love of metal, but then you were back in Europe when you still had a strong metal base, you know what I mean? Which is great for an artist, you know, to succeed. And you enjoyed the best part of touring for America. You know, those are the best years. Those years are gone for everybody.
We enjoyed those years. It was like we didn't even want to fly. We enjoyed our buses, you know, our bunks, our after show parties when we had to like drive overnight.
Yeah,
watch movies and just party and go to bed satisfied.
Well, it'd be a crime if you didn't enjoy it. And I want to say, like, as we get towards the end of this, you know, I was introduced to you, to your voice and your music. I remember it was Long Stop Goes Boom. It was on a compilation tape of like metal, but it wasn't really metal bands back then. It would have been like, you know, not metal bands. And then you guys, and someone gave me the tape and it had no case. I didn't know any of the bands on it. And I heard it in the beginning of it. And I'm like, it sounds like the end of a song. What is this? Because like the big beginning, and then Long Stick goes boom. And I'm like, who are these guys? And then that was the beginning of my love of Crocus, because from there, you know, it's like the gateway drug. You know, I went into everything else. I just heard that one song on a compilation album, and I knew nothing about you guys. That was my
which
beginning.
Which song was that?
Long Stick. It was Long Stick goes boom.
Long Stick. Yeah.
It was for me. That was, you know, because, you know, the internet, whatever. Someone gave me a cassette. I, you know, at that age, I didn't have a lot of money, so like, it was cassettes. And someone goes, "Oh, check this out," you know. And like I said, it had a bunch of bands on it. You know, that weren't metal either, but it said metal, and it wasn't. And then you guys were on it, and I was like, "Oh, I like these guys. Who's this?" You know, and there became my becoming a fan of you guys. You know, to the point where I still love your, you know, I like your solo album. I do. I love it. I think it's great. And that was why I wanted to talk to you, because I think, you know, people need to check out this Live and Let Live, even though it's been out for a while. With COVID, it got weird with everybody because it feels like time is kind of stood still. So it still feels fresh to me, you know, Live and Let Live. And I'm excited about your new one. When do you think your new one's going to come out? When can we expect it? The new solo album?
I guess somewhere towards the summer.
Oh, wow. That's fast. Music-wise, it's fast.
But,
I said music-wise, it's fast. That's fast. Usually it's a longer wait, feels like, for music.
Yeah, but in between, though, while you're waiting, we're going to release a live album.
Nice.
Live and Let Live, kind of. It's going to be Storaci live, you know, over Switzerland, because we recorded gigs from stadium gigs and festival, a festival gig, you know, from Rock the Ring, which is a festival which we actually played the last gig there, and it's a it closed down. I don't know, they went bankrupt because of COVID or something like that. because COVID caused a lot of problems for people. But we've got a nice collection of songs from those gigs we did in 2022 and 2023. And our drummer, who is very technically gifted, has engineered and mixed everything, and it's almost ready to go now. And we're just putting an album cover together, and as you know, I'm signed up with Frontiers Records, and they're gonna release it sometime in spring, I guess.
That's awesome. That's
So
good news.
spring, something, and then summer. So something's gonna be happening, and then we'll go on tour and do some festivals, and hopefully, let's see it. But I feel really good about the new album, though, the new
Oh, I'm
studio
excited.
album.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear
Yeah, me too.
it. I'm super happy I got to
Thank
talk to you. I
you.
appreciate this. I've been a longtime fan. So
That's great.
I enjoy that we talked
Okay,
and
John.